This is Audio Mosaic. Audio Mosaic is a joint venture of the American Baptist Churches and the Christian Church Disciples of Christ. I'm Jack Pinto. Our first cut begins 5 seconds after the tone. Dan Carney is manager of the American Baptist Board of National Ministries Alternate Lifestyles Project. In this interview with Vic Topitza, he talks about the project's work and the problems of aging.
Dan, can you tell us what the Life Cycle Project is and how may it differ from the usual denominational programs on and for the aging?
Maybe I'll start with the second half of that question first in regards to how it differs from the usual programs. It is not based on an institutional maintenance kind of mindset, and it's not even based on services to the aging. This proposal is that we take 3 years' time and with a coordinator of the project who will her or himself be in what we are calling the aging span of life, although I think aging starts from the womb, but we have arbitrarily chosen 55 to death as being the age group that we're working with. Okay, got that in there parenthetically. We'll have a coordinator who is of that age, and she or he will be working on three major items. One will be consciousness raising, where through the exposure conference kind of model, aging people themselves and people whose professional roles impact on the aging will really come to grips with what is going on and what is needed in aging persons' lives. Then another part of the three-part goal is network building, where we will try to keep in touch with people across the country who are activists for concerns of the aging, and an information network, just getting information out to these people, and a network of resource persons. Then our third major goal for this project is that toward the end of the three-year time frame, aging persons themselves will write what we're calling a new agenda for the Board of National Ministries vis-a-vis the aging. So we're saying we're going to take 3 years off from our usual services to and institutions for kind of approach and really try to seriously listen to the aging persons themselves and give them the chance to tell us.
Now, you mentioned the word mindset. What was the mindset of the group that developed this project, at least to this point? What way was it different, again, from the usual approach to dealing with aging?
Well, I think implied in what I've said so far is a strong commitment, an unusually strong commitment to self-determination for aging persons themselves. That was the mindset of the group that drafted the proposal. That was helped very much by having on the team Ms. Maggie Kuhn, who is the founder and leader of the Gray Panthers organization.
In the title of the project, there is mention of alternatives for aging. Now, I don't suppose someone has discovered the fountain of youth, have they?
Well, I don't think so. And I guess, I don't know, a lot of people have picked up on that, which I guess says something about we all have a feeling for this whole thing. You know, we're all aging. But no, we don't have any alternative.
Well, what do you mean by that?
Well, we have a strong emphasis in the program on looking for new alternatives programmatically regarding the aging. I think, you know, generally institutions like the church have gone along on the same kinds of assumptions. Some of them are pretty detrimental and dehumanizing. Many of the facilities for aging persons, for instance, I think amount to little more than warehousing. So we are putting a strong emphasis on alternatives. Let's look at what is being done that's experimental, that's new, and try to evaluate it and see if there's something that ought to be built on.
Dan Carney, American Baptist Churches. Hal Prosky plays the role of Job in an outdoor drama known as The Book of Job. The play, with a professional cast, has been running for 15 summers in the Pine Mountain State Park near Pineville, Kentucky. Charles Hamilton talked with him.
The place is Pine Mountain State Park, nestled in the Cumberland Mountains of southern Kentucky. Here, over 700 miles southwest of New York City, I witnessed the 1,206th production of an outdoor drama, The Book of Job. Hal Prosky plays the part of Job in this presentation. Hal, the presentation of The Book of Job employs a particular style of presentation. Could you tell us just a little bit about it?
It's patterned after the Byzantine mosaic. To most people that aren't familiar with this form, it looks like a stained glass window. Very brilliant, highly reflective, and one of the earliest Christian art forms.
Could you review for our audience your interpretation of the real thrust of this presentation of the Book of Job?
It is an extremely complex book and statement, and it's a very difficult one. However, it's an extremely honest one, and it deals with suffering and with unjust suffering. And I think one denies the thrust of the Book of Job if he says, as all his friends do, as Job's three and his fourth friends say, that he deserved the suffering. There are just some kinds of suffering in some people and some nations where there is no justice, and then you have a theological problem that you have to wrestle with. And Job wrestles with this. He's extremely honest. He's extremely religious. He will not find another answer than in God, and he has to find the answer in God.
Today we see such examples as the stage and film productions of Jesus Christ Superstar and of Godspell, employing a very different type of what many people have characterized as a modernistic style rather than the more stylized type of drama used in the Book of Job. Do you feel that each has its place in our society, and how would you tie in this style of presentation with the Book of Job?
Well, one of the classical definitions of classical is that it is ever new. There are always people who feel that you cannot reach people unless you use a brand new medium. It has to be new and it has to be exciting and so forth. I don't deny that, but I myself am a classicist. And the book is a thing Job has enjoyed centuries of neglect, this century or that century. But always when the problems are the problems that Job discusses, he is back. And this is the way a classic is. It meets a given need, but it was new before, and it's new again, and we rediscover it.
Hal Prosky, star of the play The Book of Job. The decade of the 60s was one of great campus unrest. Dr. Tony Campolo is a sociologist at Eastern College and has some ideas on why students are no longer marching. He's interviewed by Phil Jenks.
You mentioned just a couple minutes ago the differences between the people who are demonstrating outside convention halls in 1968 were inside the convention hall during the time when McGovern was nominated. Does this indicate that there is a change in the attitudes of young people and the social activism over the past 4 or 5 years?
Well, yes, there has been. I'm not particularly alarmed over it. First of all, there was a lot of excess baggage in the social movements of the 1960s. Namely, there were people who marched on Washington, as you did and as I did, who came along with us, who their commitment was very shallow. They went to Washington like they went to a picnic. You know, if you ask them, what does the Geneva of 1954 say, they wouldn't know. Have you read the Pentagon Papers? They haven't read them. It was just the quote-unquote in thing to do, to participate in the movement. It showed that you were kind of with it and quote-unquote relevant. Well, you know, all of those type people have kind of drifted away. I almost feel like this is God's way of working, you know, with Joshua. You know, you start moving towards the battle with this whole horde, and God and Joshua get rid of all the people who aren't committed until he ends up with a very small group. But that small group's enough to bring down the walls of Jericho. I think on the university and college campus, all the sentimentalists, all those who were going along for the ride, all of those who, in fact, were in for the glamour and the picnic of the thing, have dropped away, because social change is not a picnic anymore. It's cold, hard, nitty-gritty. As I said a moment ago, it's making calls to people who own stock. It's, in fact, sending letters out. It's secretarial work. It's lobbying. It's the kind of nitty-gritty work where you don't make the newspapers. And a lot of us participated because we wanted to see our pictures. Remember when we were in the demonstrations and how we thrilled, Phil, you and I, when we all rushed home from the demonstration to see ourselves on television? Well, that age is over, you see. And those who wanted to be on TV don't find any excitement in the kind of work that's being done. What I'm saying then is the excess baggage has gotten thrown out of the movement. But there is a hardcore nucleus that are working more diligently than ever to affect social change. Very small in size compared to where we were. But, you know, comparing this to religious movements, I believe that revival begins in the church, not when we bring in a lot of new people and swell the crowd, but literally when we get rid of people and boil the institution down to its very, very committed and favored few. And I think that this is where we are in the anti-war movement, that the movement hasn't died, but it has become localized in the hands of a small group of people who are struggling to come up with new ways of handling the issue and bringing about change, and I think in the long run are going to be more effective than the mobs.
Dr. Tony Campolo, Eastern College. Dr. Eric Routley is pastor of St. James United Reformed Church of Newcastle, England. He lectured at the recent National Workshop for Church Musicians in Columbia, Missouri. Don Lanier talked with him about the new hymn book published jointly by the American Baptist Churches and the Christian Church Disciples of Christ.
I first saw it 2 years ago when I was over here at a disciples conference, and I was immediately struck by it. Mind you, that was the judgment I made in 1971, and it was easily the most educated and civilized hymn book I'd seen over here in your country. And one or two hymn books have happened since then. I think it now has a rather serious competitor in the Presbyterian's worship book, but that came out later. No, I think it is a most civilized and a most educated book. And what once impressed me when I started flipping the pages was the spread of styles. I've sometimes been depressed over here, and in using some books in my own country too, by the way in which the editors seemed to be wedded to one style so much, and either ignorant of what other styles there were, or to have rejected the other styles. When you think that we've got at least 500 years of words and music to draw from, much more than that if you include plain song, you would expect there to be very wide variety of styles. But many hymnals make it look as if all hymn tunes were the same and all texts are about the same things. Now, what I found in this book was a much more liberal attitude to all this, a tendency to include some really fine ancient material and some really good contemporary material.
There's sometimes that hymns excite musicians, but they're very difficult to sing and very difficult to handle for the average church member. How do you feel that the average church member picking up this hymn book would feel? Is it easy to use for him?
Oh, I should have thought it was. I think they've been pretty clever in avoiding that which is too professional to be hymn. After all, a hymn has got to be a bit of a folk song. I always say to people that the hymnody of the church is music made by unmusical people. You don't say to people you've got to be musical before you come in here. They may be people who know a bit of music or know none whatever, but they still love the hymns they know. And if you're going to throw a new one at them, it needs to have some quality. I can't define it. I've lived with these things for 30 years and more now. I still can't define it. But some kind of quality that very soon makes people feel that they've been friends with it all their lives. It's a friendly quality. And you can have new material that is perfectly friendly and very easy to hook into the consciousness of an unmusical person. Well, I think your editors have been pretty clever at avoiding new material that doesn't do that, new material that simply doesn't offer any welcome. I know a lot of hymn books where there's some very unwelcoming new stuff that will never get sung. But I think these people have been clever at that point, yes.
Dr. Eric Rotley, Newcastle, England. This concludes Audio Mosaic for this issue. Audio Mosaic is produced in the studios of the American Baptist Churches, Valley Forge, Pennsylvania.